Brothers and sisters, it is time that we might begin our service, so if you would please come in and find your seats, and you could be turning to page 56 of our songbook. That's where we're going to begin our service this evening, 5-6. And I would ask somebody that has a better voice than mine to start us, please, tonight. So would you please rise? And we have a piano, but that even helps. Thank you. Kneel with me in prayer, please. Our most kind and loving Father, we this evening desire to come before Thee. I'm thankful for this beautiful day that You've given us, the opportunity that we were able to keep Your commandments this morning and partake of the emblems of life. And Father, that You have granted us that Your Spirit might be with us throughout this day. I'm grateful, Father, for the beautiful voices that we were able to hear and the glory that it gives unto Thee through Your Son, those things that we remember. I pray now that You be with my brother as he stands before us this night. Guide and direct his thoughts. I pray that he might have liberty of speech and thought. That, Father, he would be able to present those things that You've impressed upon his heart. And I ask, Father, that You would carry those words by Thy Spirit to our hearts. We might be able to take it in and be fed. So, Father, we wait upon Thee even now. Be mindful of those who are ministered to. I do pray, be merciful unto them. And I do pray these things, Father, always in the blessed and holy name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in Phoenix, they wire me up. I don't have to deal with this because they know I shake too much, and there's a lot, and I'm sorry for the inconvenience. The next thing we have on tap is a special. We get to hear some more singing.
Given up, desperate for a sign from love, something good, something kind, bringing peace to every corner of my mind. Then I saw the garden. Hope had come to me to sweep away the ashes. Wake me from my sleep. I realized you never left, and for this moment, you planned ahead that I would see your faithfulness in all of the green. I can see the ivy growing through the walls, 'cause you will stop at nothing. Heal my broken soul. I can see the ivy reaching through the wall, 'cause you will stop at nothing to heal my broken soul. Oh, you heal that broken souls. Oh, you're healing broken souls. Faith is rising up like ivy, reaching for the light. Hope is stirring deep inside me, making all things right. Love is lifting deep inside me, catching every tear, dispelling every lie and torment, crushing all my tears. You crush all my fears. You crush all my fears with your perfect love. Oh, with your perfect love. Now I see redemption growing in the trees, the death and resurrection in every single seed.
Thank you very much for that special. Good evening to each one of you. I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm thankful that I'm able to introduce my brother. I spend many hours with him and in the Philippines. And I, you know, when we're watching all the pictures during the Passion, I marveled how the grace of God has been given to me that I've been able to go to Kenya and to see our brothers and have a relationship there, to touch and hug them and to love them and to preach. And I've been able to go to Honduras and Mexico and now the Philippines. And in each case, there's a familiar spirit, a loving, familiar spirit that with great joy it fills my soul. It's that common bond. It's that those building blocks that build on that rock that was set in stone that we might build upon. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to be here tonight. And I ask and pray that you be mindful of our brother and listen to the things that he might have to say tonight. I know that God has prepared a message for us. So I would like to give to you our apostle, Michael McGee.
Thank you, Gordon. It is a pleasure to be here tonight. Before I begin, I'd like to extend to you from 15 of our ministry in the Philippines, the Board of Trustees, the officers that serve the Church of Christ in the Philippines, and upwards of 3,800 members of the Church of Christ. Ask that Gordon and I bring their love to you and our smiles. So if we're not smiling, remind us. It is a pleasure to represent them here and you in turn when we go to visit them. It is a joyful place to be here today within the house of God. It is joyful in the Philippines. I struggled with this sermon. I knew what I wanted to say, but what vehicle to present it in, I struggled with. And I also struggled with the date, Easter Sunday. But I want to thank the brothers that took the lead during the solemn assemblies, the thoughts they offered, and especially this sacrament service that we were a part of. They covered everything I could bring to you on Easter. But what I want to talk about is difficulties that we had in the Philippines that go back some 4 or 5 years, and how we were able to come out of it. And at the same time, I see similarities here in the United States. So I want to draw parallels. I don't want to point fingers. I'll talk about the Philippines and try to use them as a teaching vehicle. That's the title of what I hope to bring to you, Samal na Sakayan, in the same boat. And it was a detriment for a number of years in the Philippines, and then it became a great strength. It's an expression that you and I are familiar with, but if it is a way of life, there's something wrong with it. As I said, we dealt with this problem in the Philippines, and I shoulder this responsibility to bring the Word of God to you tonight. But it's your commitment to receive and to weigh what I present against the Word of God, and maybe to glean a direction or a new way of looking at things. As I thought about the Word of God can be brand new to you. Completely new, something you have never considered before in your life. A new way of looking at it. Or it could have been a seed that was planted years ago by a trusted servant or a handmaiden serving God. But in all cases, it requires discernment to know the Word of God. The people that make up the islands of the Philippines migrated, no one is sure how many thousands of years ago, in canoes that were ocean worthy. That's but two that I pulled off the internet that might be what they traveled in. When they arrived as family units. Maybe one family, two, no more than three, because that canoe was not that big. And out of that arrival, we have two words that are used. Balangay, of one boat. And if you were part of that boat, wherever you landed and took up residence, there was strength with those that you arrived with and that you settled with, that you protected your lives and those around you with. That is balangay. Today they use the word barangay, and that's the smallest social political unit in the Philippines. And it is an extension of family, far bigger than one, two, or three families, but these are words that they use in their vocabulary. If it is a way of life to be of balangay, of one boat, if it's a way of life, there's something wrong with it, because it limits a healthy growth. It limits the body, the talents, the skills, the volunteers. It limits growth and also trust. I said I began to see similarities here in the United States. I want you to think about where our biggest numbers are in the United States. Brother Gordon and I, we go to the Philippines, upwards of 3,800 in Africa. I don't know their numbers, but they are a great number of people. And in Yucatan, here in the United States, you can look to Independence, the two locals here. You can look up north, we have representation from those brothers here tonight. We can look to Phoenix. And these units become spears to themselves, much like a boat that landed and set up residence. Because out of the spear of influence, we always have leaders. And those leaders, whether they're a man or a woman, began to develop opinions. And I want to talk about opinions. Because out of opinions, we sometimes come up with hopes that are not based on truth. And these opinions become what we look to for promises. And the only promises that we look to that are firm and sure are of God. So we must always go back to his word to find truth, to find what is lasting and what will allow growth. So in the Balangay or Barangay, we have people of the boat, people of the hamlet, and they named a leader, and they called that leader, according to their history, Datu. And they generally came from a Majinu ruling class. Later on today, within the barangay, they elect representatives, and they call that the barangay captain. And though it's the smallest social political unit, they hold a lot of power. They in turn have counselors that advise them. In times past, they were three groups of people: the Temawa, the farmers, merchants, those that were made their living in the trades; the Marhaliki, which were warriors, and they were as knights of the court. They had an easy life, unless you were fighting, and that was most of the time. And then they had the Alapin, that were slaves, either paying off a debt or those that were captured in times of war. The leaders were denoted and continued from the lineage, father to son, on down throughout time. They depended a great deal upon the drawing of lots. When Brother Frank and I and Jay first went to the Philippines, big choices, big decisions were not by the voice of the people. They would sometimes draw lots. That was their way. It was in the Old Testament. No one wanted to deal with the voice of the people. Everyone having a say, a discussion, and then making up your mind according to the Word of God. In the United States, you can look back in our early histories, some of our minutes, and there were spheres of influence geographically, and also some of the pillars that we had. The older people, men and women that we depended upon, and if their wisdom was based upon the Word of God, that was healthy. But if it was based upon their opinion, it would fail. What I always admired the first time I read the Book of Mormon, as I read the story and the writings of Lehi and Alma, they were always careful to separate the two. They had opinions. Rightfully so, they were men of sound understanding. And if they had an opinion, they labeled it an opinion. If they knew something of God, that was a truth. And that's where the promises come from, the word, the truth of God. Entering into this Church of Christ, Matthew 18:3 says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Christ's kingdom requires a change. It required one within me. It required one within you. In the Philippines, I tell them I was not necessarily a bad man according to the world before. But I was guilty of sin. Some of them bad sins. In order to know God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to become as a child, I had to come back to that feeling, that being a little child once again. We have to give it all up as an individual for our soul's welfare. And as members of the body, we should never bring our opinions and our hopes within the body unless they're based upon the Word of God. And that requires discernment to know, to ask God upon bended knee to know what is truth. As children of Christ, we have a cornerstone. In the songs that were sung tonight, they touched upon that cornerstone, the importance of that rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ that never wavers. He is our head, our chief, our Savior, and this we make up his kingdom here upon earth. And it points out the importance of the voice of the people. We have leaders in the Philippines that are entrusted with a mission where there is no ministry on a regular basis. They visit, they teach, they expound, they serve the bread and the wine. But in the meantime, we have leaders that we depend upon. And these members are particular. They're important. In the Philippines, there are over 7,100 islands, 170 dialects, 21 languages, but all that come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ become Christian. And a few years back, about 10 years ago, I had a sister tell me, and she was a member of the Church of Christ, do not trust a Filipino. And I didn't know what to do with that. I argued the point with her, looking at the statement that she made with my understanding, my intellect, the way I had been brought up, what exists here in the United States. But she knew what she meant, and I could not assimilate according to my custom, according to my tradition. Now, I want you to look at yourself. And I ask myself these same questions. When we attend a meeting, a called meeting, what's one of the first things we want to know? Who's speaking? Who's preaching? And I have to watch myself. I don't judge whether I want to go or not, but I begin to judge, well, I don't know. I become reluctant if that brother is not on my A-team list. That is wrong within myself. You may not be guilty of that. Starting conference, do you really listen to the motions, the question, the decision, or is it important to know who the mover is, who seconded that motion, to know which side of the question that you want to cast your vote on? Do we side with our hope? Where we have placed our hopes and our wants? Does our opinion, and this is a play on word, don't come down on me, trump the truth? Does our opinion trump the truth? It should never. Within the Church of Christ, you and I know that we look to the vine and to the fig tree. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We know what it is to look to a physical fruit and to judge whether it is good, whether we want to put our money into buying, to purchasing, to enjoying that fruit, or whether it is less than desirable. We judge by what we know. As I look at members, do I judge a member by who he was, who he is, or do I judge him by the fruit that he bears? Coming into the Church of Christ, we're no longer the old creature, the old man, the old woman. We become a new creature in Jesus Christ. A restarting point, coming in as a little child that he can build upon. In the Philippines, they have suffered a great deal. About 400 years under the reign of Spain, 150 years with the United States of America. And we were not so much better than Spain, the way we treated them. And they reacted by staying people of the boat. Anyone outside that boat was to be questioned, not to be embraced, not to be taken into confidence. And so there was a period of time, even as we introduced and planted seeds in the Philippines, that they continued to blend the custom and tradition of their people with the kingdom of Christ. And I want you to look at our history. What has held us apart? What holds us together is much greater than what holds us apart. But our discussions, our hard feelings, our difficulties are born of those small, insignificant things, opinions, and the hopes we attach to that. We're distracted about what holds us together underneath the Lord Jesus Christ. I like Isaiah 53, 10 and 11, and Mosiah 8, 25 and 26. They're the same verses. They had a firm understanding and usage of the book of Isaiah. And in that first 10th verse of Isaiah 53, underline, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. I remember that coming into the Church of Christ, I determined I would take a year to read, to study, to explore the Book of Mormon, and I would reject it or I would accept it, one or the other. And your experiences, you may have been raised within the church, but there was still a period of time when you must surely have looked at what we hold near and dear, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and surely you questioned God to know. I was a staunch Baptist. I believed in their teachings, and I was as stubborn as any Baptist you know. But God convicted me to where I desired to convert. And it didn't take that year that I determined one way or the other. And I thought about that reading, the same as in Mosiah. When I decided to join the Church of Christ, he would see my soul. In the 26th verse of Mosiah 8, underlined, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I am but one person, as are you. But in choosing Christ, in choosing to become his child, and to give your all to him. It satisfied him to give up his life. The Book of Mormon teaches that we are less than the dust of the earth. Insignificant. A thing we don't desire to track in to our house even. But yet, it is greater than us. But the only Son of God died for you and I. And if you think about that, that's a measure of our true self, who we can become in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees our possibility. He knows what we will become. And he desires growth for his child, for his children, for you and I. He has placed a structured kingdom built of Christ, this Church of Christ here, to shelter us for growth, for one reason, to bring forth fruit. Mosiah 11, verse 188. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, become as his sons and daughters, and thus they become new creatures. And it goes on to say, and if we don't become that new creature, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God, that which is to come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. The old man that was Mike McGee, the old man or woman that was you, is gone. Behold, all things become new. Romans, the 8th chapter. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I always hesitate to take stock of who I am compared to who I used to be. When I do that, I set myself up for a fall every time. But God here is saying that if we adhere to him, and if we are that child, and he has placed a structured kingdom here for us to grow in and to bear fruit, we don't know what kind of glory will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. So we are that new creature. And you and I, some of us bear fruit faster than others. I don't compare myself to you, and I hope you don't compare yourself to me. We should only compare ourselves to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to get a proper perspective of who we can be. Some bear fruit that is far sweeter. We listen to our brother offer a special. I cannot sing a lick. You notice when Gordon shared a book with me, he stayed full distance away. I can't carry a tune. And I want to thank the children, those a little bit older, and the adults that offered beautiful song to us tonight. We had a brother that was moved to tears, and I did too. There was a beauty in what they presented, how they presented, but also in picturing Christ and his sacrifice for us, that we might become that new creature, unfettered of the world. If we're fettered, it's because I choose to be. I've taken on something of the old creature again. And it's up to me to shed that. It's up to you to shed that also once again. I've got a testimony from one of our elders in the Philippines, Elder Serafin S. Vivas, better known as Rafi. And it's his testimony on God's grace and power of healing. This is once again experiencing the awesome power of God, this time on healing. The month of January 2018, as I visited the missions, specifically Barakatan Mission, I found Pastor Alberto Villa. Now, they use the term pastor. He's not a minister, he's a leader, but they acknowledge him as pastor. We allow it, as long as they understand that term pastor does not imply an ordination, and it doesn't. He found Pastor Alberto Villa in bed having fever. Pastor Alberto Villa had been with fever, cough, and having a hard time to stand. He said he had been already to the hospital, but still having not received relief from his ailment, he'd rather be administered to for healing and be prayed upon. And he waited upon the elder to visit him, and then he grabbed hold of that opportunity. As an elder, that's what I did. On my next visit to Barakatan Mission, 2 weeks later, I was welcomed, hugged by a teary-eyed Pastor Alberto Villa, who testified of the healing he received from God. Thus, it is but of reverence to an awesome God we serve to proclaim of the good things he has done. For to him is all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Elder Serafin S. Vivas, Region 1 Elder, Mindanao, Philippines. I want to tell you a little bit about my brother Rafi. He heard more sermons from the American missionaries than any other Filipino before he decided to be baptized. He was our driver. He took Jay, Frank, and I, whoever visited, wherever we went. Some places very difficult, but he always found a way. And it took him a number of years, but he determined to be baptized. And he shared that with his wife, and she was not quite ready. I've got a tag that came up on mine. You didn't see it. But he went ahead and he was baptized. And I remember the day he was baptized. We had flooding on the island of Mindanao, there in Panabo, like I've never seen before. And I worried about one of these freshwater baptisms. And it was Frank's turn to baptize. And we journeyed to a place we had used before, underneath a bridge. And it had a nice little eddy of water that came up, a nice quiet place, sheltered from the eyes of the world, a good place to be baptized, but not when it's flooded. And the water was running about 2 feet below the bridge. And I stayed in the van. They told me to guard all our things. And Frank and Rafi and I think two other went with him. And they went down underneath that bridge, and I was not sure I would ever see them again. I prayed about it. And Frank baptized Rafi. Later they joked about it. It took that much water to baptize Rafi, to wash all those sins away. So he was baptized, continued to be our driver. and for a number of trips, I think several years. And then I preached a sermon, and I stirred up a hornet's nest. I stirred up preached a sermon on repentance, that once having had those sins washed away, it was our duty, our responsibility, to keep ourselves clean of all sin. And Rafi was guilty of sin, unbeknownst to everyone, but just a select few. And he took that sermon to heart, and he confessed it to his wife, to his family, to the church, and there was a lot of discussion afterwards. He confessed it, and he repented. My point is that having taken on that responsibility of baptism, or broken heart, a contrite spirit, it is possible to fall away, but yet it is also possible, according to the Word of God, to confess it and to be forgiven and to come back as that new creature once again. And I know he was forgiven, because after a period of time, he was called forth as an elder. God looked in his heart, measured what was there, and liked what he seen. And there were testimonies. I had one. And he's been a faithful elder ever since. Fruit and more fruit. And yet our God wants much fruit. We are to become as a little child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love. It's hard to be a child, because I, as a man, if there's a decision to be made, I like to make it. Gather my facts, determine what is right, and I've got the strength to make it. Well, sometimes I have to live with the consequence. When we are to make a decision, it can't be based on Mike McGee's opinion or my hope. It has to be based upon the Word of God. It has to be based upon His truth, weighed against what He has said or what He has blessed us with in vision or in dream, or thus saith the Spirit. Conference is ready to begin, and each member has a vote and a choice to make. What I'm saying is, your choices, make them not according to who the mover is, the second is, not according to your opinion or what your hope is, or who offers the best discussion. Weigh them against the Word of God and ask God to know. It's the only way we can grow and to build. We are to be not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Fifth verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We have to be, Mike McGee has to be, submissive to God, to the Word, and to the kingdom. Not as the Filipinos did in the drawing of lots, or finding their strength within those that were part of their boat, their landing craft outside of that boat, they didn't trust you. We have given up the old creature. In the world, strength is developed, marketed, and even worshiped. But the world has different values that you and I do. If I were to be measured against that man, he's got me beat on tattoos, hands down, for a starter. He's far faster, far stronger, probably smarter than, for all I know. But yet, that's the flesh. We are little children as to the spirit, and we're here to grow in that spirit. 1 Nephi 5:231-236. Not that I would excuse myself because of other men, but because of the weakness which is in me according to the flesh, I would excuse myself. We can't compare ourselves to each other. We can only realistically, truthfully, prepare ourselves to Christ. He's the only one. For the things which some men esteem to be of great worth, both to the body and soul, others set at naught and trample under their feet. Yea, even the very God of Israel, men trample under their feet. I say trample under their feet, but I would speak in other words. They set him at naught and hearken not to the voice of his counsel. The world puts a lot of stock in the Easter Bunny, the gifts that are given. But does the world really recognize what you and I recognize? Christ giving us life. Brother Alvin, in his remarks, he talked about that angel that rolled the rock back by the power of an earthquake, set down. The work was done. Christ had broken the bands of death. And this angelic being full of power to cause an earthquake, to roll an enormous stone that it took a patrol of or a guard of Roman soldiers to move, he sat down. His Savior's work was done. We are here to enhance, to heal, to preserve, and to mirror the light. 3 Nephi 5:60. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The truth of God sets us apart. God called us out of the world, knowing who we were, but hoping as he beckoned us out of the world that we would become who he knows we can be in him. And that difference, being set apart from the world, we should not hesitate to enhance and to heal and to preserve a way of life that we know. We are different. So be it. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall be thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So many people have said, as they drove past the edifice across the street, or the LDS center, they didn't even notice us. But we are here. In the image, the light of Christ that has illumined your heart, we are to mirror within the world. Jeremiah 6:16 says to stand in the way. Ask for the old path. And the world gave the answer, those that would not heed the prophet's call, they would not heed. They would not receive it. But you have determined to follow. We are to look to the fruit and to look for the fruit. The people of the boat in the beginning, as they landed, as they set up housekeeping, as they tilled the earth, as they raised their crops, as they gathered their animals for food, anyone else on the outside was the enemy. And with that view of life, there was an ease of rejection. It's easy to say, we're here, everybody else on the outside is wrong, to not accept what they say. But we are to embrace the truth of God and His promise, and then to ask and to try to know, to discern the Word of God. Not to that we can embrace our hopes or our opinions, but to know the will of God. We are to be a new creature that bears fruit, not as man, but as a child of Christ. 2 Nephi 3:62 and 3. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. And that sister told me, do not trust a Filipino. And I know what she was saying now. There was that they would give you the shirt off their back, which I wouldn't do. It's my shirt. But at the same time, they wouldn't trust you to get too close. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man and maketh flesh his arm. Now I'm going to make a statement. Any member of this kingdom, of the Church of Christ, is not of the arm of flesh until fruit shows me different. We are to judge the fruit, to nourish the fruit, and to allow Christ's kingdom the growth. I'm going to trust you in what you say until the fruit you bear shows different. And you, me, likewise. We have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. We all have our place within the kingdom. And some we might view as the big dog or the little dog. We're starting conference. The majority is to protect the rights of the minority. Robert's Rules of Order serve that purpose, and we follow it. But at the same time, the minority should never be allowed to dictate to the voice of the people what is right, what is wrong, what we're going to do. That's established by a vote. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And this is the commitment that we've made. And now as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light. And now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, "This is a desire of a heart." And we can trust in that covenant relationship until fruit proves otherwise. We are to judge that fruit. A covenant with God, but a covenant relationship with each other. Matthew 7:20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. 7:14-19. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto light, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Satan and the world and man will try us. And Christ knew this and has prepared you and I and his kingdom, his new creatures, if we so choose, by adhering to that old path. The fruit of that fig tree grows before the leaves unfurl in early summer. Matthew 21:19 says, "And when he saw," Christ, "a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth and forever." And presently the fig tree withered away. Christ knew the fruit of that tree. He created and established the seasons. And he's created and established us to discover and choose by our choices his way to bear fruit. The path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. That's in Proverbs 4:18. Whether we're Hebrew, Gentile, Filipino, American, the Spirit draws strength from the vine, as do we. And it makes possible growth within the body and the members that make up of the body. But if we depend upon the flesh, upon the learning of man, opinions, and not the truth of God, that growth is stunted. There's a hindrance to growth, and the supply from God comes sparingly. God is the same. He is no respecter of person. The old man is laid down in expectation of the new creature with the command to bear fruit, more fruit, and then much fruit. The tree and its fruit, growing to nearly 20 feet in height and with large leaves, the fig tree provides pleasant shade. Minute wasps cultivate these trees, and the fig is produced before the leaves emerge. The flower of the tree is never seen, as its many tiny flowers are housed within the fruit bud. Two crops are produced each year, The first crop is eaten fresh, while the second crop is dried for winter. And I like that explanation of two crops. The fruit that we bear, the first crop, if you will, supports his kingdom here. And our tithes, our offering, our talents, our skills, the time that we offer in service to God. But that second crop is sealed incorruptible for heaven. And it awaits our entrance. Our reward is there, made sure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alma 16, 163 through 73, verse 153 says, "Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if ye do not cast it out by your unbelief, that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breast." I referenced the Philippines. And we've been there 16 going on 17 years. And I'm not going to tell you that those years were wasted. They were a learning experience for me, for Jay, for Frank, for Jeff, all that have traveled to the Philippines with us. It was a learning experience for us, but also for our brothers and sisters. That seed was planted, and it was a true seed, and it took them a number of years to come out of that boat into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I look at the United States, where I live. We're not where we should be. I don't think we're that far apart. What holds us, what binds us together is our belief, our love in Jesus Christ, the Book of Mormon and the Bible, His Word as it comes forth. These bind us together. But if we become entangled in opinions and the hopes born of opinion, they are false. They will not serve us. And we become hung up on them, which separates us into camps. We must learn to trust now in the change that has taken place in each other and to judge only by the fruit, not who moves, not who seconds, not what their hidden agenda is. Judge it by the Word of God. Judge it by what you know of God. And ask to discern, to know. Got a testimony from Tagbayambang Mission. This testimony is about a young girl named Chloe Mae Suarez that is possessed by different kinds of demons. This girl belongs to a happy family. She goes to school regular, and having a good parents that takes good care of their children, they belong to another church and attends church service regular. Until such time, this young girl had strange actions and abnormal movements, and the parents took immediate action and took her to the nearest hospital. But numerous checks had been done, and the results are not clear. And they think that this is the work of the devil. So they approach the pastor of their church, and they offered a prayer for the young girl. Unfortunately, nothing happened. Due to desperation, the parents approached a quack doctor, also known here as a spiritist. And that spiritist requires them to offer different kinds of things according to the order of the spirits for the reason that the girl disturbs the spirits around. But the situation of the young girl got worse. She cannot even move, cannot eat, and always lying on the bed. In order for her to live, they drop water to her mouth regularly. They asked all the religious groups around, even the Catholic priest, but they don't see even a small progress. One day, they approached one of our members at our mission and asked if our leader can heal a demon-possessed girl. Then our member answered that if they are willing to bring that young girl to the church, then our God can heal her. Our leader that time was Brother Dominator Mapando. After some preparation of himself, he prayed for the young girl together with some members of the church. And when the prayer was done, the young girl asked for food. The demons left the young girl's body. God heard and answered their prayer. The testimony was known to all the peoples in their barangay and removed all their doubt to our church because they branded us a cult before because of using the Book of Mormon. But when God works a miracle to the young girl, and that proved them wrong. And from that time, the whole family transferred to our church until they were all baptized. There were also more people that were touched by that testimony, also become interested and attended our church service until they were all baptized. Presently, they are active in the church and supports our mission wholeheartedly. This testimony is true and was proven by the young girl's mother, Christina Suarez. Glory and honor belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about what that's saying. They were held not just in low esteem within the community, they were branded as a cult. And when no other means could be found to relieve this poor girl's condition, they came to a member of the church and said, "Can your God heal?" And he said, "Bring her to the church, and our God can." They made preparation for that healing. Brother Gordon and I were there as the mother bore her testimony to the truthfulness of it. And as this little girl, if I'm smart enough to get this to work, offered a song. You probably can't hear that, can you? To me, the beauty in that is not whether she can carry a tune. Sounds kind of like me. The beauty in that is that that young child was relieved of the affliction she bore. A member said, our God can heal. Bring her. A leader, not a minister, prepared himself. And others gathered around, and with that pure faith, a little girl was healed. Alma 16:239. And now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you. I guess you need to look at what I'm looking at. Well, I'm going to get there eventually. My brother Dan said that he offered a class on PowerPoint. I wish I had known that. Well, I'm going to get off this eventually. Well, I am stuck. You're going to have to look at that beautiful young girl. Unless I can figure out how to go beyond. I'm going from current slide, which should be that one. Where?
Did you click?
Hit that?
Yeah. It did do it. It's kind of stuck because of the video, I think. You can close it and put it back up. Just close it. Bring it back up. Real quick. No, just close it. Up here. Do it right up here.
What do you want me to do?
Close it. Close it and restart it. It'll come back up.
Okay. I don't even know where my cursor went.
I can't see it either.
Anyway, Alma 16:239. And now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you to have patience, that you bear with all manner of affliction, and that you do not revile against those who do cast you out because of your exceeding poverty, lest you become sinners like unto them. But that you have patience and bear with these afflictions, with a firm hope that you shall one day rest from all your afflictions. We're not poor. We have the Lord Jesus Christ and his strength with us. We're not people of the boat. We're people of the body. We have so much to look forward to in our journey towards that perfect day when we are sealed, ready to enter into heaven. But today, we must walk the path that lays before us. I referenced Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto that perfect day when we are sealed. But we must also learn to keep our heart reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ. This I brought just in case the PowerPoint failed. We're warned against having a froward mouth. Too loose, too quick to speak, rather than knowing what the Word of God is and seeking to know. To avoid perverse lips, to keep our eyes fixed right on the goal. And the goal is not just to live another day. The goal is to stand before that judgment bar with the Father and the Son and with the Book of Life. And if we qualify, if we have kept ourselves clean, we know